What's the difference between a failed project and a million-dollar success? Two words, risk response. In today's episode, we're going to navigate through the five types of risk response threats and the five risk response opportunities. Now, you'll be surprised to know this, that most PMs only know about avoid, transfer, and mitigate. But how do they properly use them? So in today's episode, I'm going to ensure that you have the opportunity to, first of all, understand how to use these properly, and then give you a good example of what they're like. And if you're going after your test, your PMP, CAPM, this is one of those episodes you want to pay attention to, because risk is real. There's a lot of questions about risk on the exam. And I think, hey, so this is the baseline, this is the foundation. And if this goes well, we'll probably do more episodes around risk, because risk is one of those topics that's there, like everyone needs to know, but they kind of skim through it. We're not going to do this here because you're exceptional and I know you don't want to skim through it. So let's get to it. First of all, risk is something that is a threat, right? When I say a threat, meaning there's two types, a negative and positive. Most people call it, say, as a positive risk or a negative risk. And according to PMI or according to PMBOK 6, it's a threat or a opportunity. I actually have the PMBOK here, ladies and gentlemen, just in case, so you know that I'm talking directly from that information. I'm not talking from or source of that, you know, that I create. This is straight from the PMBOK. So anyway, let's get into it. So threats are uncertain events or conditions that, if they occur, can have a detrimental effect on one or more of your project objectives, potentially leading to schedule delays, cost overrun, scope reduction, and quality issues. Let's unpack this real quick. Schedule delays, cost overrun, scope reduction, quality issues. What are those? Those are triple constraints. Anytime that you see those components, anytime a risk is going on here, you will notice that the triple constraints always play a role in it. They represent potential problems that need to be carefully managed and mitigated to protect the project's objective and deliverables. Let me tell you a quick short story, and I promise this will be short. You know, the first time I started learning about risk, people would always use, well, I need to mitigate that risk. And you're like, okay. Like, that's the word I just kept hearing, mitigate. And I was like, let me go back and do my own homework. And this is me being new. And this is why I'm doing the 10 types of risk responses. Because when I started off, I promise you, I didn't know the difference between the positive and negative, because some of this kind of intertwines together, family. And so today in this episode, you're going to get a real good treat here, because I'm going to unpack both of those. But in the story, it was funny because that's the word that they would use around the mitigate. And I'm like, okay, but what does that mean? But anyway, I digress. So hopefully you won't have to go through that. All right, number one, avoid a threat response, or as we also call a negative response. So the definition of avoidance is involves eliminating a threat by changing the project plan or strategy to circumvent the risk altogether. Here's a good example of how to avoid. So let's say the project involves a task. They could clash with a holiday season. So rescheduling these tasks outside of the peak periods to avoid delays. Here's my professional advice. Avoidance is ideal for high-pack risk. It often used in situations where the project can't absorb the risk potential impact. So reshaping the project approach is preferred. But I have to be honest and be clear with you, this can be very expensive, or I should say expensive, and may require certain project changes. Always conduct a cost benefit analysis before choosing this option. Number two, transfer. This is also a threat response or a negative response. Transferring is really simple. It's just transferring the risk assigned ownership and impact to a third party, often via contracts, insurance, or outsourcing. Here's a good example of it. Let's say you purchase some insurance to cover potential equipment damage in a construction project. that is, I think that is the most clear cut. So again, using that as an example, again, you're just going basically to buy some insurance just in case this happened. Another one, if you had a car, buying car insurance. So if something happens, you may be responsible for a deductible piece, but then the insurance company will cover the rest of the, whatever the issue is as far as the car damage. Here's my professional advice regarding that. Clearly define transfer risk terms in contract. This risk response works best for financial or legal risk that can be managed by specialized external resources. Now, I will let you know, when you transfer risk, usually involves a premium. Only the impact is not transferable, not the responsibility for managing the relationship. Again, only the impact is transferable, not the responsibility for managing the relationship. A lot of times we'll forget that, okay, well, we transfer this over to insurance, but there's still a piece that you're accountable for and responsible for to manage that relationship and be responsible for that relationship. All right, point number three of threat response, accept. Acceptance just means that you take no proactive action to deal with the risk, often reserved for low impact risk. Example of that, accepting the potential for a minor delay in non-critical project tasks due to unforeseen interruptions. Here's my professional advice. Acceptance can be a passive no action or active having a contingency plan. And we're going to talk about the contingency plan. I save that for last because contingency plan is something that I feel like a lot of people misused a lot of times. So use this response for minor risks that don't justify a proactive response. Only accept risks when their impact is truly minimum or when our other response strategies aren't cost effective. Always document. We do what? Always document accepted risk and monitor them through. And again, this is not the most cost effective, but again, you want to make sure you documented that you accepted this risk and you want to ensure that you're monitoring. Number four, mitigate. This is the word that you hear most of the time in the project management world. If for those that don't understand how to do proper risk response strategies, they'll say mitigate. But let's look at mitigating. You tell me. Mitigation reduces the probability or impact of risk to make it more manageable or acceptable. Here's an example, like an IT implementation project, you implement a phased rollout instead of a big bang approach to reduce the impact of the potential system failures. I'll give you a deeper connection to that, family. So one of the projects that I was leading, they call it the big bang. It's almost like the big bang theory in a sense, but not the theory, just that's what they call it. But literally we were rolling out to different regions. So we had pushing out the software to less, and I'll give you real good context. So we pushed it out to Australia where we're behind as far as time zone. We pushed it out to UK. We pushed it out to India. So we were really, they call it following the sun model. So it's more of a phased approach. So you're just carefully pushing it out. And if you hear anything, like you're getting feedback from the customer or I should say the client, and if you're hearing anything during this phased approach, you have a better chance of finding out what the issue is and then stopping everything that you're doing to go address the issue. And then you could continue on. Phased approaches, especially on big projects, especially multi-million-dollar projects, I recommend taking a phased approach versus just pushing out everything at once. Here's my professional advice. When mitigating, assess the cost-benefit ratio of mitigation efforts to ensure the approach is efficient. Focus on addressing risk early in the project when mitigation costs are lower. Document your mitigation plans in detail and ensure they're realistic and achievable. That's the key. Those two words, realistic and achievable. Sometimes I'll see very unrealistic, like how we're going to mitigate this particular risk. And some of the mitigation strategies I've seen, I was like, and who's going to do that? But I digress. The whole point is you want to make it realistic and achievable. Number five, escalate threat response. When risk exceeds your authority or project boundaries, escalate it to the proper stakeholder or organizational levels. Here's a good example. Escalating a regulatory compliance issue to executive management if it requires a significant decision-making beyond project authority. Here's my professional advice. Escalate when it risks are outside the project scope of influence. Now, again, family, that's outside the scope of influence. As a project manager, you are accountable and responsible to lead and help the team make decisions, or you make decisions on behalf of the team. However, when it exceeds your scope, again, using the example of a compliance issue, you will need to get executives or your sponsor involved, your project sponsor involved to address that. So again, provide comprehensive documentation on potential impacts and propose responses. You know what's so interesting is that I always talk about when you have a problem, you should propose a proposed solution. That's no different than when you're dealing with a risk. You should want to propose a response, especially when it's going up to executives. Next item, develop clear escalation paths and criteria. Family, if you do not have a clear escalation path and something like this comes up, let's say it's a regulatory issue, I will let you know you are in trouble. I've experienced it where I didn't have a true clear escalation path, and I had to create one on the fly. And it wasn't something I would recommend, especially to a new project manager, even a seasoned project manager, I wouldn't even recommend it to. But so it's important to understand what are the clear escalation paths. Okay, if I escalate this to my manager, where does my manager escalate this to? Or do we just go over our manager? And I actually recorded a whole episode on that, on proper escalation paths. So if you wanna know more about that, ping me and I'll shoot that to you. Again, and document everything and maintain communication with stakeholders. You already know the motto here, documentation over what? Documentation over conversation is going to be huge, is going to be key, because what's gonna happen is if something comes back up, you wanna make sure you have the proper documentation to address any issue, or I should say, excuse me, any risk that may have happened. Now it may even be flipped to an issue. So you wanna be ahead of the game. All right, let's look at the opportunities, or what they say, positive. Opportunities are uncertain events or conditions that, if they occur, can have a beneficial effect on one or more project objectives, such as time, cost, scope, or quality. Again, your triple constraints. They represent potential positive impacts that can be leveraged to bring added value to the project, such as completing work ahead of schedule, delivering under budget, or exceeding stakeholder expectation. That last one is what I love, stakeholder expectation. All right, number one, exploit. Exploitation ensures a high priority opportunity is realized by maximizing the likelihood of his occurrence. Example, when a key expert becomes unexpectedly available, you immediately secure them for your critical project activities. Here's my professional advice. Exploit when opportunities offer significant value to the project and dedicated resources accordingly to maximize benefits. Also, create a rapid decision-making process to capitalize on opportunities quickly when they arise. Again, family, it's about speed to market. Again, it's about making quick and informed decisions. All right, number two, enhance. This is also called opportunity response, as you kind of get it, positive risk. Enhancements aims to increase the likelihood or impact on an opportunity. Example, if an early completion might attract a bonus, encourage faster work completion through incentives. Where I'll give you a deeper example about that. So a good example of this would be, for instance, let's say we're working in construction, or no, I'll even use software. We're working in software, and if we're able to get this software out ahead of time or even on time, there may be some bonuses tied to how fast we get it out without what minimizing on the quality issues that we will have or don't have. So there could be a lot of things tied to that. But the biggest thing is trying to increase the likelihood and open up opportunity. Here's my professional advice. define clear benefits for enhancement activities as they would positively affect project goals without straining resources. Look for opportunities to combine or leverage multiple positive risks for a greater impact. Number three, share. Sharing is caring, they say. Allocate ownership of opportunity to a third party who was best positioned to capture it for the project benefit. Here's an example. Collaborating with a tech partner to co-develop a feature, allowing both parties to share in the revenue boost. So a good example of that, let's just say, for example, which I know this has probably never happened, but let's just say Apple and Microsoft got together and now, you know, they're tech partners and they decided to develop some particular features. Here's my professional advice. Ensure all sharing arrangements are clearly documented and mutually beneficial. Family, you have to do that, especially if you're doing this share opportunity response. Consider legal review for significant partnerships. Point number four, escalate. Moving the opportunity management to a higher organizational level when it exceeds project boundaries. An example of that is technological tech breakthrough in your project could benefit multiple projects, so you can escalate it to a program level. So let's say you have a breakthrough in which it benefits on a more of a project level, because when you get to the program level, it's a collection of projects. So when you're looking at project, let's say you have a project that is having success from a technological, I don't know why I'm struggling with that word today. That's my thing. You have a greater opportunity to have success. So here's my professional advice is build strong relationships with program and portfolio managers to facilitate effective escalations. And number five of the positive, or as according to PMI, opportunity responses, be willing to take advantage of opportunity if it occurs, but not actively pursuing it. If a competitor goes out of business, you're willing to hire their skilled staff, but you don't actively plan for it. Here's my professional advice. Maintain awareness of accepted opportunities and be ready to act if they materialize. As I told you, family, I had a bonus for you, because sometimes we can get contingency response strategies, also known as contingency plans, confused. So I thought, hey, I know when I was first learning this, I got it confused, and maybe you won't get it confused, but at least you'll have the proper context in case somebody is telling you the wrong information. So let's look at what the definition is. A contingency response strategy is a planned response. Again, I'll say that again. A contingency response strategy is a planned response that will only be executed if certain predefined conditions or triggers are met. Again, the only way a contingency response strategy can work if predefined conditions or triggers can be met. They're designed to be implemented only if specific events occur. Here's the key attributes to a contingency response strategy, or what we call a contingency plan. Trigger conditions that are clearly defined. Response strategies that has been planned in advance. Assign ownership and responsibility. Resources that have been identified and reserved. Now, I want to give you a good example of what that looks like. So let's take a software development project. The trigger is if a key developer leaves the project. So that is the trigger that meets our first key attribute. Now, our response is, our contingency response is activate cross-training program, engage in pre-identified contract resources, implement documented knowledge transfer plan. Why is this important? Well, it provides a ready to execute backup plan. It reduces response time when risk occur, and it increases project resilience. And most of all, the most successful thing that you're going to need is it helps maintain the project momentum. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Again, risk response strategies, negative, or as we call them, threats and opportunities, or opportunities and threats. I just had to mess with you a little bit. Well, I go by the name of ED. I hope this high level risk strategy, I want to give a special thanks out to one of the family members that recommended, say, hey, I would love to see some information on risk and do some more stuff on risk. I want to let you know I never forgot about you. I was just getting some other episodes out the way. Now we have this opportunity to talk about risk. I got some more stuff coming for you guys. I'm super excited. We're getting close to, I guess, the end of fourth quarter. And when I say the end of fourth quarter, even though it just started at the beginning of this month, it still is going to go fast. So got a lot of training for you for November as well as December and some other awesome things coming. So stay tuned, stay tapped in. This has been your boy ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means, and I appreciate you. Until next time.